Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sports-ad-free. That's amazon.com/sports-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Welcome to the Football Ramble Euro, sponsored by Bet365, ladies and gentlemen. It's great to have you in our bosom once again. My name is Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore is also here.
All right.
And the great news is Pete's here as well. Pete Donaldson.
Yeah, from the streets.
Out on bail. Gareth Bale.
Yeah.
10 years on remand, couldn't keep you down.
Couldn't keep me down.
That's right, but they did try. England are through. Easy, 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 easy. Oh, hey. Finishing second.
Do we go through? I must have missed that memo. Everyone getting upset.
I must have missed that. They will play the second place team in Group F. We don't know who that is right now.
It's around a 50% chance of it being Hungary, I believe. Yeah, and around a 22% chance of it being Portugal.
I thought it was about 14% of being Portugal, Austria or Iceland.
Oh, okay, right.
Either way, it's most likely to be Hungary based on what's happened so far. Mm. You know, who knows how realistic that will be. It could be Portugal, couldn't it? But you know what? Of all the sort of traditional bigger teams that we could face, you'd probably pick them.
Yeah, because we lose on penalties again, and we miss that.
Yeah, exactly.
We said it, didn't we? That it's just written in the stars, although it does seem unlikely to be Portugal.
But I do like that kind of like colour wheel that everyone's put on Twitter today, where it's just like it's quite nicely done, and also, I think Wales have got like a 1% Germany chance or something.
No,
like that.
How
does that even work?
No, not anymore
because
Germany
became
top their group.
Okay,
but there's a slight chance they could play Croatia. It'd be a cruel twist of fate for the Welsh, having played so well, they've qualified from the group so brilliantly. You know,
we'd be like, phew!
Yeah.
Enjoy.
But it wasn't all sunshine and lollipops, was it? England failed to beat a poor opponent again in the group. It was 0-0. A lot of people a little bit unhappy about this.
There was a lot of kind of vitriol, wasn't there? Jordan Henderson in particular seemed to come in for a lot of stick, certainly from what I was seeing, and Jack Wilshere a little bit as well. And I don't think either of them were particularly bad. Neither of them sort of pulled up any trees, but people were absolutely fuming at a lot of performances. Lallana as well, although he did very much lack-end product. I think we maybe saw the
they all did.
Of Lallana.
I think that's the biggest flaw in his game, though. I think Lallana's finishing and his shooting is... And I'm someone who's been critical of Lallana, I understand that, but I am kind of around to his way of thinking. I know I can see what he brings to this side, and I don't... Obviously, I'm encouraged when he starts now, but his finishing and his shooting is a weak point. And as you just touched on, it is probably a hallmark of England's forward play generally in this tournament. If you look at the facts, and I know the reality is that England drew 0-0 against Slovakia and they didn't win the game. But across the three games England have played, so they've had 64 shots.
Yeah.
And Frank Lampard's not even playing.
64 shots against teams that have set up primarily to blunt them. Russia slightly less so, but that was still very much in their thinking.
The opening game's a bit of a funny one.
It turns out that wasn't a good point against Russia, Luke.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Although in my defence, I did say, let's just hold on a minute, it might prove to be a good point. I didn't say it definitely was a good point.
In Marcus's defence, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't at all. No, I agree. And in my defence, I completely agree with you.
England not really got going yet, in a sense. Yeah. It feels a bit like the qualifiers at the moment, and that's no disrespect to the opposition, but as you say, everyone England have played so far have just dug in.
Yeah.
No one's come out to play against England yet.
No. If they just scored a couple of goals more than they had, I think everyone would be like, oh, they've really got going now. Because that performance against Slovakia wasn't that bad. Yeah, it was pretty decent. Yeah.
Well, if Vardy puts that one away.
It was kind of the same as, I think Luke made the point a little bit, I don't know why we're off air, that when Wales scored their first one, you knew a couple more were going to come because they just had the beating of them. But because we didn't get that one-on-one very early with Vardy, that could have been about 3 or 4 nil.
From what I remember as well, that was the only chance that Vardy really had to get in behind the defenders where they were stretched a little bit. And I don't know whether they use that as sort of a warning, or Slovakia used that as inspiration to go, right, we'll shut up shop now. And maybe they were trying to nick a goal in the first 20 and then shut up or whatever. But from what I remember, that was the only time that we got in properly behind them. Other than that, it was, nine.
Yeah, I think
the
Slovakia really thought to themselves, we're best off trying to get a point here. Finish with four. And we've got a chance. But just on Vardy, a lovely chap spoke to me on the London Underground on my way home from watching that game and
about
said...
About putting that away.
Yeah, exactly.
Please stand back, sir.
I sincerely apologised. I've never seen a man with so much water in his eyes.
Happened too many times. Holding me water.
I did agree with him. He said that England shouldn't play Vardy when England are going to have lots of the ball. And I agree with that. It's because when Arsenal were interested in Vardy, I don't know what's going on there, you thought to yourself, it's totally, totally not Vardy's game, guys. And when England have got a lot of the ball, Vardy, OK, he got the goal against Wales, granted. He never really looked in the game. The one chance when he ran over, ran in behind from the Henderson's ball over the top is how Leicester play.
It's a beautiful pass, that.
It was a beautiful pass. But if Vardy's game for Leicester is when they don't have the ball and they sit deep and they soak it up and hit on the break, perhaps Vardy's the man if England do progress far enough to play a really top quality opponent, maybe there, because otherwise perhaps it should be Sturridge
he's a man for extra time where teams are kind of playing for penalties and you sort of go just go for it,
but that is what he's there for. I think that the fact that and the Kane thing is a slightly different discussion, but Hodgson's man is Kane, and so Vardy is there in the squad. I mean, if everything goes well, all things being equal, England have a glorious run to the final and everything goes Hodgson's way. He wants to use Vardy for the last half an hour probably, when he needs to. He doesn't want to start him. I think he's forced into starting him because, one, he wanted to make some changes. Two, Kane's not been firing yet. And three, he probably thought, well, Vardy's better than Slovakia.
And Sterling has not been playing too well.
No.
And also, while that is true, the point of, saving him for teams that are going to come out a little bit more. I think England had planned to win the game. You know, they weren't intent on settling for 0-0. I think Hodgson probably thought we would get a goal and then that would open Slovakia up and that, you know, you'd be able to use Jamie Vardy in a bit more of an effective way. It's just that we couldn't actually find that goal.
So he was very much
nullified, wasn't he? I mean, you lose his best attributes if it's that kind of game.
I really want to address this sort of outpouring of ill feeling towards England's performance against Slovakia, because not because I just want to be contrary for the sake of it or because I think I'm seeing anything better than anyone else, but the point is that I think a lot of people who watched that game last night on Monday night are essentially just being really lazy and harking back to when England were really boring against Costa Rica in the World Cup or were terrible against Algeria in World Cup 2010. Yeah. These nil-nils that we've played a part in over the recent few years have been terrible.
Mm.
England were light years away from that on Monday night.
I completely agree with that.
And the way they played, you could level criticisms at England, but I've not really seen that many people doing that. I saw one guy on the evening stand saying they need a bit of cutting edge, which I agree with. Other than that, it was like, oh, same old England. Well, it wasn't same old England. The only thing you could level at them were, one, they need to be a bit cuter. They need to move the ball quicker against a team like Slovakia, who were a disgrace, by the way. I mean, Slovakia have qualified for the World Cup, for the European Championships, on merit.
Yeah.
If they win the game, they get a far easier run through to wherever they want to achieve. A nation like Slovakia, with Premier, basically someone like Hamšík, who essentially performed like a destruction role, despite being an attacking midfield player of some repute, one of Europe's best players, one of Europe's best creative players, didn't try and do anything.
It's very difficult. I understand what you mean, Luke, but I wouldn't be too harsh on Slovakia.
But my point is, just to round off the point, if you'll let me, they didn't play like a team who wanted to soak it up on the break and then hit on the break quickly.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
And if they wanted to do that, I would excuse it. I'd say, like, all these teams that England have played in the group so far have been essentially the same thing. They've tried to really soak it up. Wales showed a little bit more of endeavour, but that was probably because it was a derby game. The Russia one's an opening game.
Not much more, though.
No, and Slovakia didn't even try to do anything. And that, to be fair, I think is a little bit disgraceful. The amount of time wasting going on from a team who, if they win the game, give themselves a really good chance of getting a plum draw in the next round. They just didn't want to do it.
Well, they probably thought to themselves, England will conspire to undo themselves. And Chris Smalling tried to help them with that back pass.
That was a weird technical deficiency because he sort of cushioned the chest.
Do you know what?
Power chest
that would have been classic England to lose a crappy goal like that.
And it didn't happen. The problem with it,
and then we go through his third and play Germany. It's like, that would have been it.
Most of like the thing pieces about England being terrible, they're so, almost sort of thinking, oh, England are the underdog. They're not the underdog. Treat it as like, you know, as a compliment.
Yeah.
You know,
players
who watch these players week in and week out for Spurs and for Leicester and for Arsenal, they think, oh my god, these are good footballers, we're going to sit back, we're going to defend all match, some players won't do that, some players will have played with these players and go for it a little bit more.
The difficulty, you're right Pete, and the difficulty is for England is those teams, one of the reasons why they do that, I mean, Northern Ireland obviously did that against Germany, but that's
well, that
more
makes the England result look better, I think, to a certain extent. They can only get one goal past Northern Ireland.
Yeah, because Slovakia are better than Northern Ireland and Germany better than England. You know, so you look at it like that.
Well, what we're seeing is just an extension of the way that teams play against England in qualification.
Right, the only difference is
those teams in Group B of this European Championships are better teams.
Right.
So they're better at it.
Yeah.
But
they beat Germany and Spain.
I don't think for a second.
In recent history.
Well, quite. This is why it's embarrassing for them. Mm. It's embarrassing for them. They should be showing back. Because what you guys
they didn't
are saying,
look embarrassed at the full
no,
time.
They should have done. But what you're touched on, Mark, is in a way is a contradiction because it's like, well, if they know England can undo themselves, well, why don't they just force it? Try and make them then.
Well, it was a slightly flippant point, but I think with sides, England. To understand, if you're not from England, to understand us English fans, people often think, oh, you always think you're going to win the tournament and whatnot. No, that's not true. What England fans, I think, want is for the team to perform where we should be.
Yeah.
And where we should be is you're not in the top bracket. The top bracket at the moment is Spain, France and Germany. You maybe throw Italy in there for old time's sake because they got the final of the last Euros. Belgium are perhaps knocking on the door, should be, with the talent they have. You know, that's the kind of, if you like, the sort of the top bracket.
Yeah, Holland,
Well, the Netherlands would normally be in that bracket as well, and then you extend it to World Cup, Brazil, Argentina. Then you have the sort of a couple of tiers below. You've got the likes of Scandinavia, Ireland, one or two
and
others.
England are between that, right?
And England are kind of in between. Portugal maybe, although Portugal have been to more semi-finals than England of recent years, but England are kind of in between there. So
but England went to more semi-finals than Portugal in the 90s, for example.
Yeah, they did.
So I say England and Portugal is quite a good comparison.
So possibly a good comparison. Although before the World Cup, by the way, England and Argentina was a good comparison.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, it seems a weird thing to say. And I think England are in there. We want England to be that quarter-final team, and every now and then we nick a semi-final. Yes. I think that's what England fans want. And you go away, you have the glorious failure, or you think, oh, well, you know. Whereas England haven't been like that. That's where we think we should be, because we probably should be.
I must say, I don't really blame Slovakia for setting up in the way that they did, because I think they probably think they have got a better chance of getting a point if they play like that than they do of getting a win if they go for it. And I think they've probably been, well, they've clearly been incredibly conservative in doing that. But I must say, I really, really like what Hodgson said after the game, which was that basically someone's getting a battering soon. He's very confident that when the team clicks, when we get a chance to really go at someone,
those words will certainly be good for him to
Pete's
say.
Pete's right in what he said about the fact that it's a competition. Every team England have played in the group so far, I've seen the England game as the danger game and thought, you know what, we'll bite your hand off for a draw right now. And that's what they tried to do. I don't think for a second. Hodgson made probably a few too many changes, and a few people said this before the game, and I wasn't one of them, but they were right in retrospect. It probably made England a bit more disjointed. Mm-hmm. But I don't think someone like Nathaniel Klein did himself any disservice at all. He was fantastic. Walker's still probably going to be the first choice. Walker's a better player on form at the moment. But Vladimir Weiss had to be moved position. He was getting hammered so much.
What do you think of the six changes? Because a lot has been made for that. And I think one or two people even said it was quite arrogant. I don't think it was arrogant. No. I think Hodgson's thinking to himself, we will not lose this game, and he was very right to think that. Talking about resting players, if Rooney gets an injury or a suspension, which he's had previous four, then Wilshere's the natural replacement. Wilshere hasn't played that much, so maybe give him a run out there. Jordan Henderson, you'll need Henderson if you come up against.
I thought Henderson was fine.
I thought he did great as well.
I thought Wilshere was pretty terrible at times, though.
Yeah,
a lot of drop passes.
It looks like he's not played football in 2 years.
Well, there you go. Which is why he wants to give Wilshere a go. Henderson, you'll need Henderson. I didn't think he was great. I thought he was fine. Henderson, you'll need if you're going to play
again, didn't he?
Yeah, if you're going to play against France, which England may do in the quarterfinals if they get past the second round, then you'll need Henderson, perhaps. So you give him a game because he hasn't played much at the tournament. The fullbacks, Hodgson's been, like Pochettino, ragging him. So
you get the feeling that all Hodgson wants is to find a competent corner taker.
Oh my goodness.
That's why he's changing it around, because our dead balls have been obscene this tournament.
Though, it seems like world football is lacking one of those. Decent corners.
France have got a couple.
For the love of a 28-year-old David Beckham.
Just to deliver something at the box. And to be fair, most of our chances came from corners, but the keeper was just, plucking them out of the sky. You've not got that Andy Carroll kind of target man when...
Well, Cahill and Smalling are decent in the air.
But we can't swing the ball in properly.
The problem is, when you get as many shots blocked as England do, corners come into play a lot.
Right.
But I made a point on Twitter earlier, basically last night after the game, and I said that England will see the measure of this England team once they play against a team who've got a bit of ambition. And I don't mean how England are going to march on to glory.
Right.
But as soon as they play a team in knockout football who want to do something. So if we get hungry, in a way, it's not going to suit us very well. We're going to have to do well to get past that.
40-year-old keeper?
Yeah, well, quite. But England can't shoot on target. So no. It doesn't matter.
That and Gabor Kiri will stitch us up in a penalty shootout.
Just to finish the point, if we were to play Portugal, who aren't great, by the way, but who will show some ambition, who will say, we've beaten England in the recent past, we've got ambitions to do well in this tournament, we're expected to do better than the second round, they're going to leave all sorts of gaps. And then England will hopefully be able to exploit them. Well, that certainly seems to be the game plan. And if they don't do that and they get beaten on a trade-for-trade basis, you have a shot, we have a shot, and we get beat, then that's just the way it goes.
And going back to my earlier point about what England fans, or most rational-thinking England fans, want about that quarter-final, or maybe nick a semi-final, the trouble is in previous tournaments, and 2006 World Cup was a great example of this, is England, they beat sides, or they just, get through the group quite uninspiring because they're playing against sides that they really should beat, or they're in a group which they should qualify from. They do that, and then they play a side maybe in the second round, which again you probably should beat, and England, they labour to a win, that kind of thing. Then they play a proper opponent in the quarterfinals, then get beat, and you think, we never really had anything. Okay, you've got a great moment against Wales there, but look at Wales beating Russia.
Yeah.
There was never that moment where England looked quite comfortable.
Mm.
They have, it's probably cruising. Yeah, right. Since 2004, England have not really had that moment in a tournament, and that's really what
they've rarely been two or three up, to be fair.
Yeah, true.
Well, if you do fancy England to go all the way and win the tournament, they're now 10 to 1 with Bet365, so £10 on that will return you £110, including your stake.
Is that better than last show?
I think it was 8 to 1.
Yeah, I think it is.
Right,
yeah.
So they've gone a little bit longer. But I think in many ways that the lesson that it can take from that is plan B seems to be hammering the ball from 30 yards. It didn't work. Let's not do that again. Yeah. Let's have with someone like Wayne Rooney running at the defence a little bit. That's how Gareth Bale pulled defenders left, right and centre, because he runs directly at players. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any of that. The only person who did that was Rooney, whose first touch in that match when he got brought on was a little bit was a little bit leggy and a little bit rubbish, but he ran at players and people got a bit scared.
Well, he tried. I mean, yeah, none
he's
of it came off.
He's not suited to come off the bench. That's
no,
the problem.
No, yeah.
The only time he's suited to come off the bench, sorry, I should qualify that. If England are 2-0 up in a knockout game and they need to keep the ball, bring Rooney on, no problem. He can set the tone, but he's
get
much better
yellow.
Set the tone from the start of the game. And I don't think it's the right thing to do to bring him on. I thought it was a strange decision. It was probably another thing I didn't quite agree with about the game against Slovakia. But on the other hand, you know, it goes like that sometimes. We've just seen Germany struggle to break Northern Ireland down despite having a ridiculous amount of possession. Okay,
there are so few goals in this tournament.
Yeah,
as
they
well.
Got a goal. But I mean, that's the only, I know it's a big difference, but it's the only real difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, England just lacked a bit of cutting edge. And you're all right on what you say, by the way, because we've all watched enough football to know this to be the case. If Vardy tucks that away in the first 15 minutes, it's a completely different ball game. It really is. And that's how fine the margins are, especially, as you said, Pete, when in a tournament where goals just aren't being scored.
Yeah. But are we done with England? Because I know we're going to move on to Wales.
Because Euro 2016 will be soon.
Wales got a wonderful win against Russia. What a night for them.
I mean, jealous of that.
Yeah. Well, not only did they go through, they topped the group. And the way to do it, a 3-0 win at a tournament is a rare thing indeed.
Yeah.
It is rare to score three goals in a game at a tournament, but a 3-goal margin. If you look at the history books, not many sides do that.
I mean, well, we've had a couple already in this tournament, haven't we? But,
but it's only the top teams that do it.
Yeah,
I mean, Belgium
exactly,
did it against Ireland. Spain did it as well against Turkey.
They were
pretty bad. But
aren't Wales top scorers at the moment?
I think they are. Yeah,
and Bale would be top scorer.
Bale is top scorer. Yeah, he is.
And but yeah, as you say, Luke, it tends to be where there's a sort of huge gulf in quality, and because Wales are a bit of an unknown quantity because they've been out of the international tournaments for such a long time, it is so brilliant to see the joy with which they're playing.
Yeah.
You know, they don't seem to be under any pressure at all. Although certainly in that game it showed that. And I mean, they smashed Russia 3-0.
Russia didn't look like they were under any pressure, to be fair.
Russia were an absolute disgrace. That second goal, the Neil Taylor goal, that was an embarrassment.
Yeah. Have another go.
Yeah,
Neil Taylor,
no one
said,
around him.
He said, well, I did my best to miss it.
Yeah.
A little bit. And stroking it.
I was really pleased that Aaron Ramsey scored, because I think he's been really good for Wales.
He had a fantastic game.
He's just his work rate. He's worked so tirelessly for them. And I think that, you know, he is, of course, their second best player, you know. But actually, Bale takes a lot of the pressure off Ramsey.
I thought in the England game, and then we touched on this as well, I thought Ramsey was far better than Bale.
Yeah.
He was far better.
But then Bale. Now, Pete, you said about, you know, where's Bale, the man who runs at people and does that kind of stuff? Well, he was doing that against Russia. Yeah. He really tore them to pieces, and got his goal as well, his third goal of the tournament. Could end up as the tournament's top scorer, you know, which would be quite something.
In the BBC commentary, they were saying it's possibly the best performance in the tournament so far. And I think, yeah, in terms of the pure excitement of watching that game, I think that's probably true. You would argue Spain was sort of technically better against Turkey or whatever, but in terms of the actual pure fun of watching
Wales don't have the riches of Spain, you know what I mean? Wales, in context, Wales deserve an awful lot of credit for that.
Mm.
They do, and I think
Chris Coleman, what a job he's done there.
But it goes back to, do you know what? It goes back to John Toshak giving a lot of these players their debut.
Yep.
Obviously,
Gary.
The late Gary Speed doing his bit as well, which is clearly fantastic, and it makes it a little bit bittersweet for the Wales fans, I'm sure, but you know they're doing him proud. And it's a combination of all those things. But it comes back to what you guys were saying. If you get an early goal, it's very hard for a team who's set up like that to change their mindset. Mm. They can't do it. Mm. Slovakia, going back to England again just briefly, Slovakia was set up to draw that game. They were time-wasting with about 40 minutes left. If England score, they are toast. Mm. Absolutely. So they can't do anything about it. They can't change their mentality. They've probably been working on that for a good few days to do it that way. And fair play to them, they've closed it out. But I think without trying to come across as like a bitter England fan, because I'm not bitter because England are still in the tournament and that's fine. Slovakia should be ashamed of themselves the way they performed. They should be. They should be. They should be.
Did you watch the Russia performance as well?
Yeah, but Russia needed to win. Yeah. So they needed to come out, really.
They did come out. Russia left holes all over the place because they showed a little bit of ambition. They're terrible. Yeah. But they showed a bit.
Is it fair to say that...
They've stunk up this tournament. Russia, and I fear for that team in 2 years' time.
Do you fear for Slutsky, the manager?
No,
he handed in his resignation, didn't he?
Very animated chap on the touchline.
He looked knackered.
Yeah.
He looked
exhausted. He's been combining roles, I believe. He's been combining a club role as
from
well.
That and a long-distance runner.
Yeah.
It looks like he's just ran there. And he's absolutely exhausted.
Mm. Russia can solve their hooliganism problem by the time their tournament comes around. You know, they've got 2 million army reservists, or certainly armed forces reservists.
They'll definitely be responsible, won't they?
They can sort that out. That's naughty. They can probably sort the hooliganism problem out, but... I think their football team is in tatters. Those performances we saw at this tournament have been nothing short of
awful. You'd
worry,
because they got Fabio Capello in to build a side to go into that World Cup. That obviously
what a
didn't.
Disaster, that
yeah,
was.
That's not happened. And an old the Slutster has gone in and
Slutster.
He's not done too well. Mm. You do fear for them in their own tournament, but. It's 2 years. 2 years is a long time in football.
They're missing a couple of their most influential and important midfield players, though, aren't they?
Yeah, that's true. But look, the Dutch finished third at the World Cup 2 years ago, at the tournaments.
It does come and go.
It can be a long time. We're going to talk more at Euro 2016 after this little thing.
They're men of the world, not your regular rabble. They love a bit of that.
Hashtag travel.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble Euro, sponsored by Bet365. Should we talk about Northern Ireland?
Yes.
Northern Ireland 0, Germany 1. Realistically, I think that was a decent result for Northern Ireland.
O'Neill's last stand, that was.
Well, Michael O'Neill's side faced 28 shots in that game, and according to the BBC, Germany had 79% possession.
Wow.
It was such a rip-roaring first half of just brinkmanship, and just frightening that Germany were going to go and score 5 goals. And then at half-time, Jens Lehmann appears. If I was like a pundit...
Really?
At the BBC,
I didn't see that.
Jens Lehmann was on for the BBC. I think it was the BBC this week, wasn't it?
Okay.
For this show. The BBC did it, and Jens Lehmann was on. I was thinking, I don't want to be in a room with Jens Lehmann. I'm tired enough. He's going to do something mad.
Yeah. Big mad Jens, yeah. I mean, I think with Northern Ireland, they're still in the pot for best third place, one of the best third place sides. Mm. Yeah. And on goal difference, crucially, because they have plus one.
They're in good shape. I mean,
they're on zero.
Zero, yeah. But they are second in the third place ranking of teams, just behind Slovakia.
At current time of recording.
Yeah, time of recording. And there's only three games left to play. So it's, I don't think. No, they probably can go out, but it's very unlikely.
Imagine if they played Wales in the second round.
Well,
it would be absolutely incredible.
You could see Northern Ireland nicking that.
But it would be for British football. Let's widen it, because England, we can hang on that a little bit. Yeah. It would be incredible. You would never think that.
Well, the way they did not really defended, it was very much a goalkeeping performance, wasn't it?
Oh,
really,
McGovern was great.
From McGovern, but they played on the break for most of the first half. There were glimpses where you thought they had a couple of chances where it was just like the last pass wasn't there, and you're like, oh goodness me.
I was doing my head in. Remember that one, Jim? We were watching it, and there was a moment where I forget who it was, and I was going, slip it. If you can slip it, your man's in. But as you said, Jim, in those moments, when you're so under the cosh in those kind of games, when you actually have a chance to do something up the other end, you just panic.
Well, the problem was, he had two options. In that situation, you need one option. Yeah. You can't take the time to take the decision almost.
To show even a kernel of ambition with a Germany side like that, absolutely putting you to the sword, is ambitious, I think.
It's funny, isn't it? Because, you see games like this a lot where one side is clearly better and they just pass you to death, effectively. But Marcus and I, we're looking at the teams, and just Northern Ireland players just busting a gut, running about all over the place. Germany just strolling around. Mm. If you didn't know anything about football, you would think, what is going on here? Why don't you just get into them?
Two very different games.
Technical ability is that much better when it comes to passing and that tight
in the
control.
Head. All in the head,
absolutely,
mate.
Absolutely. And Thomas Müller still hasn't scored a goal at the Euros.
I was just saying that
Gomez should have had two. I saw limited parts of the second half that he might have had five.
Müller had a really good chance in the first half. Gomez chested it down to him. It was a whisker wide. Mm. It was a whisker just before they scored, I think. Actually,
yeah. Did he hit the bar as well?
I think he might have done.
Certainly at the beginning of the game, Yogi Love was behind a sort of like advertising board, so he can just scratch away.
I've noticed that he shakes everyone's hand when they leave the field after being substituted. I'm like, I don't want to touch that, mate. Goodness me.
He should have to wear a rubber glove for that bit. Or the bit before. Either way.
Or just not do it.
Just carry some antiseptic hand wash around you.
Leave your bum alone.
Leave your bum alone.
How disrespectful would that be if Michael O'Neill at the end of the game, right, we were shaking out, no, don't shake yet, and everyone, they had
they award Germany the cup on the end of a selfie stick. I'm not touching him. I'm not going near him.
What would Mark Hughes make of the whole thing?
Wow. That'd be a real conundrum. The handshakes are very important to
I felt in this match, I felt sorry for Aaron Hughes, because the goal went in off him, and he's been a hell of a servant for Northern Ireland. And
he will be knackered.
He just wants to lie down.
To be honest, I don't want to stick around.
He gets in one of those cryogenic chambers to like cool off for 30 seconds. He stays in there for 3 hours. Yeah, and just freeze me.
They all get back into the dressing room and he's crying. And Michael says, "What's wrong with what's happening? I don't want to be in the second round. It's going to be like that."
I'm 53.
This is nothing like our preparation.
They only conceded the one, which is.
Thomas Müller just walks past the dressing room and goes, "Our training's harder than that."
And I put them away.
Yeah, right. Oh, my goodness. But they're still in there, though, Northern Ireland. Not a bad result, really, if you consider how the game went. The stats back that up enormously well. It makes us feel a little bit better as Englishmen that they only got the one goal, although they did get the 3 points. Of course, Poland, they got 3 points as well. Kuba scored. Blaszczykowski.
Lovely goal.
Yeah.
Blaszczykowski. Lovely goal.
Kuba, let's call him. Yeah, that's his nickname.
That's literally why that's his nickname, I think. I
suppose he's the good guy in Wolfenstein, the video game.
Could have been.
Looks a bit like
could have been. Yeah, he had a hand in the missile crisis. But, Cuba.
thanks for that, Marcus.
I got it.
Yeah, we understood. Just in case. Yeah. Got a missile of his own today, though.
He did.
Didn't he?
He did. Yeah.
Against poor old Ukraine, who lost all three games.
If that didn't move Ukraine to DEFCON 2, nothing will.
Lewandowski had a tap in.
Oh, by the way, I should
first half.
Sorry, Pete. I should say, you know, I did the old DEFCON chat last week, and I couldn't work out if it was DEFCON 1, which is the most dangerous, or DEFCON 5.
You were given ill information.
I've been on Wikipedia. Yeah.
No, I'm not going to say that. It is DEFCON 1. But right. The reason I know that is because someone on Facebook saying, you know, you were talking about that. Well, you said you were at DEFCON 3 anyway, so it would have been exactly the same either way.
I think you said 2.6.
Really? Just, it's 2.6.
2.4 is what we were on now.
For the DEFCON of England winning the tournament or not, I think I'm back up to about 3.5 now.
Yeah, okay, right. Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah. Still a little bit away off 5. That's the main thing. Yeah. That is the main thing. But Germany topped the group, of course they do, and Poland are in second. I think Poland plays Switzerland now.
Oh, is that confirmed, is it?
I think
that'd
so,
be
yeah.
That'd be a curious game.
Yeah. It will be, with Jan Sommer in goal for Switzerland.
It's nice to have some concrete decisions about who's playing who, to be honest.
It's really weird, this system of waiting what your fate is.
Poland and Switzerland is an interesting matchup because both teams have got potential and got good players, but neither have really fired yet. They've started firing. And Switzerland were disappointed against France. Poland would have fancied their chances against Germany, couldn't do it.
I must say, I thought Switzerland were decent against France because they did well to not lose that game. That was actually a really, really good game.
I suppose it was better than their World Cup show where they got absolutely destroyed 5-2, didn't they?
They still got to the second round of that World Cup.
I've probably been harsh there, yeah.
Paul Pogba in that game, I think that was one of the performances of the tournament so far. Even though they didn't get the win, and that shot where he hit the bar, that would...
Well, Payet.
Jesus. No, Pogba first half. Just absolutely,
he was great.
But that run he went on when he set up Payet, which would have been one of the goals of the tournament.
Well, that was Sissoko set that run.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, sorry, I'm getting confused. Yeah, you're right, Jim. When Pogba hit the bar.
Yeah,
that's right.
Different incident.
Yeah, right, yeah,
put that in one to one side.
Okay, can we talk about Payet hitting the bar now?
Now make your point.
Yeah, okay. it nearly went in, didn't it?
It did. It's a great one. It would have been a good goal.
Yes, as would Jim's one.
Marcus, is there anything else we can help you with?
I'm sure. There's an awful lot.
I'll make sure he gets home, guys. Yeah.
Where's home?
But the shirts thing, we surely need to talk about as well.
Do we?
Four shirts got absolutely decimated. Granit Xhaka had two ripped. It made me wonder how many shirts they have in reserve.
Yeah, at Trilb on Twitter's made this her highlight of the week. She says, Sunday's Swiss striptease. The beautiful game needs more on-pitch stripping. Thank you very much.
On-strip stripping.
You agree? And Shaqiri said that he's just glad that Puma don't make condoms.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm going to go at the sponsors.
Yeah. It seems very thin. They all seem to rip around about the numbers. Maybe the numbers, I think, the heat of applying the numbers and the decals.
Pete,
effect.
Do you want to ask me? Because I used to work in a sports shop.
Yeah. All right. Well,
we didn't do we didn't do printing, so I can't help you.
Well, I'm glad I came in the shop. I'm leaving.
JJB down the road.
Give me
mate.
A manager.
JJB Sports down the road.
What shop did you work for?
It's now defunct, sadly defunct, Sports Kit.
Sports Kit? I would have
heard that. Put you down as an Intersport man.
Yeah, Intersport.
There was one of them in the same precinct. We didn't like
them. Big rival. The West Side Story.
The manager used to say, go down to Intersport, see how busy they are.
Yeah.
Because he was terrified of being made redundant.
Were they middle class boys in Intersport?
They probably were, yeah.
Albania, historic win for them against Romania in the Ia Derby.
That was beautiful, wasn't it? The celebration after that goal.
Oh, my goodness.
The pylon was brilliant. I'm pretty sure about like 50% of the population of Albania was in that pylon. It was massive.
Yeah, it was. Gary Neville popped up.
Joe Hart ran. Yeah. David May.
Yeah.
Luke Chadwick.
Yeah.
Amando Saduku, got a lovely goal there. And Albania are in the pot as well.
Yeah.
Well, when I say in the pot, they're still waiting. It's so strange, this, isn't it?
They're right in the mix-up, but they are right in the mix-up. But on the third-place thing, Albania sit slightly below Northern Ireland on goal difference at time of recording. So they're more vulnerable than Northern Ireland are.
Mm, they are indeed.
Portugal just below them.
That's right. Croatia versus Spain, Czech Republic versus Turkey has not been played. They've not been played at the time of recording. But speaking of the Spanish, do you see Pedro chipping off?
Yeah.
He's hoping for a more prominent role for Spain. And he said very recently, I had different expectations when I first came here. It is difficult for me to play this role as a substitute, and if there is no continuity, it is not worth me turning up just to be a part of the group.
Yeah. That is astounding, isn't
That's
it?
Chris Sutton-esque.
Do you not remember what you did?
Not worth me turning up.
You played for Chelsea in the season just gone by.
That's what Cristiano Ronaldo will say next game around. Well, this wasn't worth it, was it? It's been a washout.
Yeah. But Nolito's was brilliant against Turkey.
Yeah, he plays for Spain. They've got loads of good players.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Nolito's had a great season with Celta Vigo.
And has played well.
Pedro has not had a great season with Chelsea, it's safe to say.
Yeah, he's been a little bit of a silly sausage there, isn't he?
Well, Chelsea haven't had a great season, so is it worth Pedro actually turning up next season? This is yet to be seen.
It's a good question.
Chelsea will decide.
Yeah, it is a very, very good question. Ireland are up against Italy in their quest for the second round.
Yes, and Ireland, I've got to get this in. Ireland are 12-5 to beat Italy with Bet365, so £10 on that returns you £34, including your stake. And can they evoke the spirit of 94 and do the business? Can they call on the ghost of Paul McGrath, who's not actually dead, by the way? So it might...
Ray Helm.
Paul McGrath.
Yeah. I love this about international football. Just those memories, you know. The fact that there is a bit of, you know, can they do it? Can they repeat that spirit of a game that was, you know, well over 20 years ago when no one involved had anything to do with it?
International football is all about spirit, isn't it?
Yeah.
But frequently spirit.
Unfortunately, Italy have been quite good, haven't they?
Yeah, they're not bad.
No.
I know what you mean. Roy Keane was at his best when talking about how Ireland need to be clever to play against the Italians. He said, my advice would be, take them out. All right, Roy.
Yeah.
We're not here to make friends. The fans will do that.
Yeah.
To be fair, they will. The Irish fans are always great. From a player's point of view, if you smell danger, you do whatever you can to get the right result. If that's a foul, then you foul him. It's not a crime. With you, mate, you were very close there. Yeah. You might get a yellow or red card, but your team might win. You have to make sacrifices for your team. Getting a red card.
Yeah, I love this. Ahead of a really crucial game, he has publicly told his players it's okay to get sent off.
Martin O'Neill just said, look, I'm going for a walk this afternoon. Just take care of the press. I'm going for a walk. Take care of the press.
There's an unsolved murder. I'm going to have a look.
Don't say anything stupid. I won't be long. If anything, just say no comment.
Yeah.
And he comes back to that absolute shit show.
If you smell danger.
Yeah. Well, then why are all my players suspended?
You smell your hands, you're Yogi Love. Scottish now.
I once saw Roy Keane in the interview say, he was asked, it was around the controversial, I think it was around the controversial time when he was in all sorts of trouble, disciplinary reasons and stuff. And the interviewer said to him, do you ever go out to hurt a player? And you expected him to say, no. He went, every game.
I love that about Keane, though.
He said, I never go out to injure a player, but I always go out to hurt a player. It's the same thing. Yeah. Yeah,
do you mean emotionally, Roy?
No, in their bones and tendons.
I like to break them.
Well, Keane went on to say about his team's performance, or the team's performance against Belgium, obviously they lost 3-0. We were punished against Belgium, and I actually quite enjoy that in sport.
What is that? Masochist.
If you're not at your best, you get punished.
I understand what he means.
Yeah,
sure. There's a time and a place, though, isn't there?
Yeah. He said it's like a boxer when he gets knocked out. You get back up and start swinging.
You don't get knocked out.
If you're not knocked out, it's over.
To be fair, though, Marcus, are either of us going to point that out to him?
No. Well, we're not in France to do so.
Yeah, and that's the only reason.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for him to set up that Twitter account so I can tweet him. Oh.
I think if he was on Twitter, no one would troll him. No one would dare.
Yeah, I think so.
Who, Keane? He's not going on Twitter for the rest
of his life. Exactly.
He could live 1,000 lifetimes and never go anywhere near social media.
Look, before
it's part
tournament,
of the attraction.
Before the tournament, Aidan McGeady had been a little bit disappointing in one of the friendlies, hadn't he? He said, Aidan maybe didn't play as well as he should have done, but then, you know, that's pretty much the story of his career, isn't it?
Imagine Roy Hodgson saying,
Ray Lewington saying that about one of the England players.
Yeah.
He should be an agent.
Like Raheem Sterling. Yeah, he's had a terrible season, to be fair, so it shouldn't be a surprise he wasn't very good.
It's amazing he didn't go, well, he's Scottish anyway, so he shouldn't be with the Irish team.
Imagine
really
like Del Bosque saying about Pedro. Have you seen him play last season? He's nowhere. He's lucky to be in the squad.
That's right.
He wouldn't have him.
That's right.
What's our bet of the show, Luke?
Our bet of the show does focus on Group E, the group we've just been talking about. We fancy both Group E games to feature under 2.5 goals. £50 on that with Bet365 returns us £113, including stake. We were very close with the England thing. The England-Wales double, we could have been 2-for-2, but it wasn't to be. But
messed it up.
This one we fancy. So, yeah, under 2.5 goals in both those games, which is, of course, the group featuring Ireland and Italy and...
Belgium
and Sweden, of course. But don't forget, you must be over the age of 18 to bet, and please gamble responsibly. Peter, Marcus and Jim, or James, as his full name is, but Jim, are going to tell you where to go to gamble responsibly.
GambleAware.co.uk.
Sorry, I was looking at someone in the next studio.
Jim and I will
play it. GambleAware.co.uk.
And yet again, it's ruined.
So, fingers crossed on that one. I think that's got a good chance.
I think it has. Luke, do we have any highlights?
I've got a few.
Go on then.
What have we got here?
Shall I give my one first?
Yeah, go ahead.
In fact, this is really Pete's. It's all of our one. It's King Kazu, Peter.
Yes.
King,
a very old man.
Kazuyoshi Miura has scored at the age of 49 in Japan's second tier. His team lost 2-1, though. This is the oldest scorer in Japan second tier. I mean, 49 years old playing professional football.
I mean, it's impressive, but it's not a Euro highlight, is it? Come on.
True. Very. Oh, come on.
Well, a few people did email it in, so thank you for those of you who did.
That's right. I did like it when he said, I'm genuinely happy.
Was he talking to Kevin Keegan? I'm genuinely happy.
Maybe he's the Japanese Kevin Keegan.
He said, I was sensitive.
Watashiwa, genuinely happy.
He said, the defeat is disappointing. I need to be scoring more, to be honest. Wow. You're a 49-year-old man, mate. Anyway, Luke, back to Euro highlights.
Louis Marks on Twitter says, my highlight was Lawrenson saying Romania goalkeeper has got chocolate wrists. Lovely combo that he also goes down like custard. Tasty old game.
Chocolate wrists.
Excellent use of Twitter, that. Tony, also on Twitter, says, Jonathan Pearce saying, un Big Mac pour Gignac, and then keeping it BBC by saying other burgers are available. Hashtag pot kettle black. Charlie on Twitter says, has to be my mum asking what Deli Ali's first name was. After telling her it was Deli, she then asked me what his surname was.
Love it.
His name is Deli Ali, it really is. What else have we got here on Facebook? Joe Deasy, the Russian supporters chief, who was deported because of the violence but re-entered France by an unusual route overnight before getting arrested for a second time. He kept everyone up to date on Twitter. So, I think the French officials are getting off pretty lightly in all this nonsense, I have to say. I really do have to say. Pete, have you ever gone anywhere under the cover of darkness?
No, I don't think so.
Not that's when, a lie, isn't it?
It's just caving, went caving on.
The mics are still on.
Something else which was reported by the Daily Mirror. It's not a Euros highlight, but it's got to be mentioned. Marcus Bent was caught with cocaine on him at Chessington World of Adventures.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Why were you frisking, Marcus? Yeah.
As I always say, it's nice to have a Marcus in there. But there's the exception to the rule. Yeah.
Gareth Stephen got in touch with that. He said, I always had him down as a Legoland type of guy. we'll finish off with this one. Keith R. Campbell, Joe Ledley going full Pardiola, but learning the lessons of his club gaffer and unleashing the thunder after the win was secure.
Yeah, he did a little dance, didn't he?
It was. I know for a fact that a number of Crystal Palace fans are supporting England and Joe Ledley at this tournament.
Fair enough.
Checking out this. Libel-wise, just got to check that's correct. Yep.
It's absolutely true.
Seems to be.
It's reported by the Daily Mirror.
How did they know? Was he like being really talkative on one of the roller coasters?
He was really confident.
I'm not
even that fast. He was cue jumping.
I might sound a bit closer to the wind and finish off with this one by Neil Maguire, who's a regular contributor. He says, realising that my beloved Glasgow Celtic is only one player in the whole tournament, putting us on a par with such luminaries as Fleetwood Town. Still, one more than Rangers.
That's a dig.
He said, that's a bold man's dig that wins us a comb covered in a single ginger hair.
That is excellent. That's very good indeed. Right, any more for any more? Are we done?
Let's get out of here.
We are back, aren't we? On Thursday night.
We are back on Thursday night.
So we are recording.
Stay in touch.
Right. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Bye.
And
bye.
Don't
bye. GambleAware.co.uk. What?
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.